WFAE streaming is sponsored by Corporate Information Technologies, a local IT company assisting business and taking a proactive approach to technology. CIT, let us show you how good IT can be. corp-infotech.com.
2010.
This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Let's start with the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. You've probably never heard Bach played quite this way, unless, of course, you're familiar with Tiempo Libre, the classically trained Cuban band that likes to mix classical music with the rhythms of their native country. Their classical training combines with traditional Cuban cha-cha-chas, boleros, and mambos, fusing two different cultures into a whole new sound.
Voy caminando, voy arrollando, y con mi conga voy acabando. Voy caminando, voy arrollando, y con mi conga voy acabando. Que ya no puedo más, baila con mi conga. Que ya no puedo más, baila con mi conga. Que ya no puedo más.
Tiempo Libre mixes it up tonight and tomorrow with the Charlotte Symphony in the Belk Theater. And joining us to talk about this three-time Grammy-nominated group is Jorge Gomez, pianist, music director, and founder of the group. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Charlotte.
Thank you. Good morning.
You brought Cuban weather with you, didn't you?
No, stay in Florida.
And Giacomo Rafael Byros is here. He's the guest conductor for the Charlotte Symphony. He's been in town on and off for about 2 years, and this is the first time we have met. Where have you been?
Oh, I've just been around. They keep me busy over at the symphony. Thanks for having me, though.
You're very welcome. You just told me a second ago that you used to do radio.
A little bit. When I was in Singapore, a member of the Singapore Symphony Orchestra, before I got into conducting, I was sort of trying out a bunch of different things, putting my hat in a bunch of different areas. And I had a small opportunity to work at the classical arts station in Singapore, and got to program classical music, some of my favorite stuff, did about 2 or 3 months until they basically fired me because I couldn't pronounce any of the important ministers and presidents correctly. I couldn't pronounce their names correctly, so they were like, people would call and complain about my pronunciation of some of the Singaporean names, and so
yeah, but you knew
that was
the music.
End of my career.
That made no sense.
Yeah, no, people loved our programming, but yeah, short-lived
so
radio career.
So before we talk about Tiempo Libre and what they're going to do tonight and tomorrow night at the Belk with the symphony, let's talk about the fact that you have set up a dance floor at the Belk Theater for this. This is a first, I think.
Well, it is and it isn't. We had a gala 3 years ago when Christopher first came to town.
Warren Green.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Our music director. When he first came to town, we did a big gala of waltzes from Johann Strauss. So we did it, and it kind of lingered in our minds about how great it was and how much fun it was. So we decided, well, Tiempo Libre is going to be in town. They're going to raise the roof off the hall. We might as well get people up out of the seat to enjoy the show if they feel like it. So we've taken out the first few rows. We have a nice little area there, and they can come up, get close to the band, and have a good time and dance along and enjoy.
I know that you do a lot of different kinds of dates as you tour the country, but I know that a lot of those dates are with symphony orchestras. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time a symphony orchestra has put a dance floor in for you, or is this happening around the country as you tour?
It happens.
It happens?
Yeah. We just came from Indianapolis, and they do the dance floor.
Yeah.
We don't think that people is going to come to dance, and they do that.
They do. When did Tiempo Libre begin? When did you put the group together?
We started in 2000 in Miami, because we are from Cuba. We studied together in the same school, National School of Art, for 15 years, classical music, you know, Bach, Beethoven, Liszt, Chopin. And we left Cuba for different reasons to different countries. And then we reunited again in Miami. And at that time, we were playing with different artists like Celia Cruz, Cachao, Arturo Sandoval, Albita Rodriguez. And in our free time, we made the band.
In your free time?
And yes.
And that's the name of the band?
Yeah, exactly. Translation.
Tiempo Libre. Mm-hmm. How did you get out of Cuba?
Oh.
They don't know he left.
Sorry.
Well, it was difficult to leave Cuba at that time, at the 95. But I used to be in the army in Cuba, so they trust me. And I say, I'm going to go to visit my family in Guatemala. And say, okay, we wait for you here. I never go back.
Does that have repercussions for your family, or could it have had repercussions for your family?
I have a small family. Uh-huh. Everybody was in Guatemala waiting for me.
And what about the other members of the band? How many people in Tiempo Libre?
We are seven.
Seven. So that's seven people who got out of Cuba.
Yes. Well, they stay going to Cuba. They have family in Cuba.
And they can come and go?
Yes. There's a new law now. Yeah, they go to Cuba every 15 days.
Okay.
yeah.
You said that you all knew each other in Cuba, but you did not play together in the same musical organization in Cuba?
No.
And you studied classical music in what has been described as Cuba's rigorous classical conservatories by night, and played traditional Cuban music by night, rather. What makes Cuba's music conservatories rigorous?
Oh, well, you have to study a lot, and they only allow to you to play classical music. If they catch you playing even Cuban music in the school, you're going to be out.
Why?
I don't know. That was the... Well, you have to ask to Paquito Rivera, Arturo Sandoval.
Was that because these schools started under the Soviet regime, and that's the way they did things?
Yes.
The Soviet Union, and Western music was considered... something else.
A bad thing,
yeah. But you're surrounded in Cuba by this kind of music, this popular Cuban music. How do you avoid it?
Oh, it was so difficult. We go to the how you say, aula?
Mm-hmm. Nightclub? Or
aula, inside the school?
Classroom.
Yeah. And we start playing Cuba, and someone is watching. Hey, it's coming. Okay, we stop with Johann Sebastian Bach. La, 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 la. Okay, they are good.
But you know... it strikes me that people who study classically, and you play, you're a piano player, but if you play piano and you study classical music and you study to the level that you studied and become as accomplished as you have, that lays the foundation for whatever you want to
exactly.
play.
Exactly, yes.
Explain that, because a lot of people don't believe it, they don't know it, they don't understand it. Explain that.
Well, when you study classical music, you also study the instrument and the technique for the instrument. And when you have that, you can read music, you can play one of the hardest music in the world. So for you, it's going to be very easy to play like jazz, like bolero, cha-cha-cha, rock. And it's very good to have that background.
Can I chime in on that?
Absolutely.
He's totally correct. You study classical music, and it gives you the ultimate foundation for music. That's why classical music education is so wonderful at an early age, is because you're giving the tools to the young people everything they need to do any sort of music after that. As George said, or Jorge said, that classical music is probably the hardest. You learn the technique of the instrument, but there's theory that comes with it. There's time. You're reading notes. You're reading different clefs. It gives you every component you need to do any type or style of music after that. So it's really important. And the same thing is for dance, too. You know, when you talk to, like, we had the ballroom concert on our Night Sound series a couple weeks ago, and they all say, start with ballet. Start with the classical trained ballet. Get the form, get the classic sort of foundation, and then move on to jazz and tap and whatever.
We're going to talk about music education as we go through the program here, but this is something I think that kids in America today are not as exposed to as perhaps they were 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When piano lessons were something that almost everybody took at one point
That's
in
right.
their life.
That's
and
right.
if they got to be good at it, they studied classical music and they all played Chopin mm-hmm. and things like that. And today that's not
nope.
the case.
Yeah.
And I think this is only a theory, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, both of
sure.
you. That one of the reasons that pop music sounds the way it sounds today is because we have limited the vocabulary of the musicians by having them not study.
I don't know. That's a pretty... I could see why you would say that, but I don't know. I think pop music is evolving like everything is.
Okay.
It's getting simpler and simpler. Mm-hmm. And that's because...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But simple doesn't mean bad either.
Okay.
Simple could mean just economy of means. You know, simple could just mean, okay, we have a typical form that we play a pop chart in, but now we're changing that form to meet certain demands by the consumer, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a totally bad thing or the people who are making it are less educated, but I think it's evolving. Even jazz is evolving, too. Everything's evolving.
We're going to hear a lot of tempo libre in the hour, but when you listen to your music, it is incredibly complex.
No, thank you.
I mean, it's full of layers and lots of notes and chord structures that you don't hear very often, and it all happens like that. It's unbelievably technical.
That was our life in Cuba. Imagine, you go to school at 7 a.m. Uh-huh. and go from 7 a.m. to 12, study the normal thing, mathematics, chemics, everything. From 12 to 6 p.m., study music, everything in music, music history, your instrument. From 6, you go to your home to homework, the normal thing and the music. Uh-huh. And then you go to sleep at maybe 10 p.m. every day. But when you are in your neighborhood, you were listening to Cuban rhythm, the cha-cha-cha, danzón, guaguancó, conga, and in the school was a classical.
Where did that rhythm come from? It's very specific.
Which one?
Just the rhythms of Cuba and the music of Cuba. What influenced it? How did it develop?
Well, a lot. From Africa, and Europe. From Africa, they came the rhythms, you know, the bata, the instrument, all the percussion thing. And from Europe, they bring the melody, the singing, the dance. And when you mix all that thing, we have so many different kind of styles.
Classical musicians are sometimes simply not attracted to pop music. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to play it. And some of them can't play it. They're challenged unless they play things exactly the way they are written, and they don't want to stray from that. So after all, and both of you are involved in this, so after all of your training, because you've both been highly trained, what attracted you to this kind of music?
Well, for me, I mean, I've always been a lover of all music. Music is music. If it touches your soul, if it stirs an emotion, if it gets you excited, if it makes you sad, whether it's pop music, jazz, classical, that's sort of the point of it, is to sort of stir something inside of you that words cannot do. So for me, I've always enjoyed listening to all different types of music. And I got my early first start, which is very ironic, as a conductor doing Latin Pop's concerts. So in a way, I'm kind of coming back home now in my third year in Charlotte, because when I first started conducting, I was doing Latin Pop's concerts in Asia. And because I was Portuguese, it gave me a lot of credibility, even though I really didn't know what I was doing at the time. And I had a very good sort of friend, mentor from Miami, actually, Nestor Torres, who's a famous jazz flutist. He was really big in the 80s and 90s, and he's still out there making CDs and being nominated for Grammys. He's doing great, but I think, you know, the radio has changed now, and he was a big, easy-listening kind of guy. But he was involved with the Soka Gakkai Association of Buddhist organization. He would come to Singapore and play concerts, and I saw him play, and I was like, my goodness, this guy's amazing. He's so good. And, you know, I knew him from high school. I mean, we weren't friends or anything, but he came to my high school and did some master classes, and he was just famous in Miami. He's one of the big staples of the music scene in Miami. And I went to him, I said, hey man, let's do a concert out here in Asia and really do some of these great charts that you do. And he said, great. And I went to the Singapore Symphony Management. We made it happen. They let me conduct. It was my first debut. And it was with Nessa Torres doing Latin charts arranged by Murciano, who's done a lot of the charts for Tempo Libre. So it's really great for me to sort of kind of close this loop together by starting my career doing Latin Pops concerts in Asia and now coming back to do it here again in Charlotte.
So. I'll get your response to this. We have to take a break, Jorge, so we have to stop for a second. We'll come back with more of Jorge Gomez, who is the founder and music director and pianist, phenomenal pianist, with Tiempo Libre. We'll hear some of the music in a moment as well. And Giacomo Rafael Barros is guest conductor with the Charlotte Symphony. Tiempo Libre is playing with the symphony tonight and tomorrow at 8 in the Belk. Bring your dancing shoes. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Hendrick Acura. Smart luxury car and SUV choices combined with personal customer service for new and pre-owned vehicles. Located on East Independence or online at hendrickacura.com. Well, you've heard the jingle, spring is in the air. That music's been heard every spring for decades, and of course it announces the arrival of the Southern Spring Home and Garden Show. This year, it's the 53rd anniversary of that show. Now, back in the 1960s, when there were no big box stores, it made sense. But why do people pay to get into a show like this that they can see things that they can see at Home Depot? We're going to find out why they come, and there are many reasons for that. And we'll meet Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child. She's in town next week to star in Fela. That's Monday at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Friday News Roundup. Sparring over spending and taxes intensifies 1 week before sequestration. Details of immigration proposals emerge. And Florida's governor reverses course on Medicaid.
Join the News Roundup on the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks. Here on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Tiempo Libre is in town tonight and tomorrow to play with the symphony. Information about that on our website at WFAE.org. Jorge Gomez is the founder and music director and pianist of Tiempo Libre, and Giacomo Rafael Byros. And I want to be clear. I'm saying your first name correctly.
Perfect.
Okay. Because
amazing.
You're Portuguese.
That's right.
And you pronounce the J in Portuguese.
That's correct.
He's the guest conductor with the Charlotte Symphony. He's been here a couple of years, started as an assistant conductor, and now because you're such in demand, you're going all across the country and have become guest conductor. I want to get back to this classical music question, because a lot of musicians, classically trained musicians, love classical and don't really want to venture out into other kinds of music. Were you alone in your attraction to Cuban music when you were studying at the conservatory in Cuba? Were there other students who strictly stuck to classical music and had no interest in the other music?
I believe it's half and half.
Okay.
Part of them, they was so classical, and the other part was trying to experiment a mix between classical and rock, between classical and jazz. For example, it's going to be so amazing tonight, hear the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, but you can dance a cha-cha-cha with that music. You can dance that song.
Funny you should mention Johann Sebastian Bach. We're going to play a couple of things as we go through the program, but I want to hear something a little different here. It's called Para Ti, is that how you say it?
Uh-huh.
Which means what, for you?
Yes, exactly.
Why is it called for you?
Well, we are talking about Joshua Bell, right?
Joshua Bell,
yeah, exactly.
The violinist.
He made an album, and the album was called At Home With Friends, and we are good friends.
Good friends.
He was making this album, and he told me, I need something Latino in my album. Can you do something for me? Oh, yes. This is for you.
For you. So this is Joshua Bell on violin playing with Tiempo Libre on Para Ti. Thank you. Joshua Bell. This is a piece you're playing, I believe, tonight or tomorrow or both. Right? Is that right?
Are we,
No, you're not playing that? Oh, okay. I thought you were. I was told that you were playing most of the songs that we're playing, but that's okay. How did you come to meet Joshua Bell?
Well, we worked together in the same company in New York. IMG.
IMG, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I know him. I know Sir James Galloway and a lot of classical artists.
Okay. And what do you think attracted Joshua? Why did he feel that he needed a Latin song on his album At Home with Friends?
I believe everybody needs some Latin thing in your body because it's a refreshed thing, and they give you a move and the body, the happiness, the party time.
Now let's go behind the scenes a bit. Let's go behind the scenes. When you handed this piece of music to Joshua Bell, who is a virtuoso violinist that has been since he was a little boy, evidently, how long did it take it to get into his fingers? Did you hear him rehearse when he first got the music, or did you join him after he'd already worked on it?
I sent to him the music, and for sure he studied the music.
Yeah.
And I see him in a recording in New York, and he was playing the music from memory, no paper. My God, that's good.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Is that normal?
No.
To go into a recording session and play from memory?
Well, the Cuban music, yes, but you have to learn the music.
But you know it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I noticed when I walked in here this morning that the two of you were sitting over a score and singing it. Singing it through, and amazingly enough, you're saying, well, we have a rehearsal after this show, and this is the first time we've gotten together. And this thing is tonight at 8 o'clock.
That's right.
And that's complex music. Is that normal? Is that how you work on things
in
the symphony?
I think in an ideal world, you'd love to have a couple rehearsals and get together for an hour or two, but, you know, this is, you know, the Tempo Libre, they're in demand. So we got to catch them whenever time we can. We had about 10 minutes before you walked in, so we were looking at some scores. And the great thing about their music is, at least the arrangements for the orchestra, they're not too difficult for the orchestra. The stuff that we can rehearse, play a few times, and we'll be ready to go.
Because these rhythms are not in the orchestra.
They're not.
Bones,
but at the same time, we are American. Mm-hmm. And American music and American popular music is so infused in our systems. Whether we're classical musicians or not, we still understand Gershwin and Bernstein and Latin music a little better, I think, than some other countries. It's just we were born with this. Jazz was born here. So we have a feeling of this music inside of us, and it just takes maybe 3 or 4 minutes of just going through it, and we'll click into that mode. And it's going to be really easy when they start playing, because as soon as their energy starts to emit from them on the stage, the other musicians in the orchestra will capture that energy and join in with them.
Hmm. How difficult was it for you and the other members of this musical group to start over in a new country? I would assume that you could have stayed in Cuba and played music and had a decent existence. How difficult was it to come to this country, settle in Miami, and work up from scratch?
Well, it depends. Because in Miami, it wasn't that difficult because there's a lot of Cuban guys.
Oh, yeah.
We still with the same food, the same language, and the same people from the neighborhood, from the school. But when you start working with the Americans, we have to learn a lot at that time.
Did American, I think you're on Sony, right? Sony Music? Did American agents, did American bookers, did American music labels know your music, know of you as musicians? Or did you have to claw and scratch and knock on doors and make phone calls?
Yeah, that was the beginning, for sure.
How do you do that in a foreign country? Seriously, how do you do that?
Well,
because you're still young. It's not like you've spent 25 years trying to claw your way to the top. I'm not sure you're 25 yourself at the moment.
Well, we have a very good, lucky beginning. We start opening to Celia Cruz in Ravinia Festival in Chicago from 15,000 people. That was an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And from that, I was not that hard to start playing, and the American audience learn about Tempo Libre.
You perform a song called Lo Mio Primero. What you laughing about? Did I say it badly?
No. It's good. Very good.
It addresses what it's like to start over in a new country with values and customs that are so foreign from those in Cuba. Translate the title.
Well, that means whatever you are going to play, your root is first. So you're going to be a Cuban even if you are in Alaska. So you don't you're going to be with your tradition, your music, and you're going to share that with the people.
Okay. So let's hear a little bit of Lo Mio Primero.
Dejé, venía buscando un sueño y mis amigos decían de ese cuento. Jugando yo al dominó con tremenda sabrosura, con un trago de ronda y mira tú qué locura.
Vivo en Miami, soy habanero, te traigo la gozadera, lo mío primero. Vivo en Miami, soy habanero.
So what are you singing in the lyrics? What are the lyrics saying?
I came from Cuba. Now I'm living in Miami. And I bring this music for everybody.
And I mentioned that this song talks about what it's like to start over in a new country with different values and different customs that are foreign to you. What are the different values? Give me some examples of different values, different customs.
The song is about when you leave Cuba, you leave a lot of thing behind, your mother, your sister, your culture, your food, and now you are in a new country and you have to adapt to the new way to live, the food, the language, and for example, the Cuban people, they scream. When they talk, they scream. And in the United States, you have to say, good morning, everybody. So that's a little complicated. And even in this concert with the orchestra, the symphony orchestra, we normally play very loud. Uh-huh. Ah, everybody with the hands up! And now we have to play very soft. Because the audience is going to be different.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Huh. This is different music. This is music that perhaps the audience that are regular concert goers, even to those who go to the pop series, may not be familiar with.
Yeah.
Rhythms and sounds that they may not be familiar with. What would you say to people who are coming to this? How do you want concert goers to approach this?
Oh, just come in and have fun. I mean, this is on our pop series, and our pop series is one of the series that the Charlotte Symphony presents that is a chance to give our audiences and our community something different. You know, our classic series sticks with the traditional Beethovens, the Mozarts, and, you know, Brahms, and there's definitely a great deal of support and love for that type of music. But the pop series is a way for us to try to throw a bunch of different unique ideas at our community here, and this is a perfect one.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't have to come in with any expectations other than you know or love Latin music, because these guys, as you said, are virtuosic instrumentalists who have taken their culture and blended it with classical music. It's really a perfect marriage, and it's going to be not only a high energy type of show, but it's going to be filled with a lot of virtuosic musicianship. Yeah. So they're getting actually the best of both worlds.
This is a little off topic, but it's kind of ties into what you were just talking about. I know that you are committed to perform works by living American composers.
Yes.
Why is that important? And how difficult is that? Because classical music faces this problem of people wanting to hear what they know.
Yeah.
But the need, if you're going to keep it alive, the need to bring new music into the repertoire.
That's right. Well, a lot of people don't realize Beethoven was actually alive at one point. No. Beethoven's Fifth Symphony was premiered somewhere at one point. Brahms' First Symphony had its first performance at some point. You know, and I think the culture of classical music at the time they were premiering wasn't what it was today. You know, everyone was really excited about Brahms's new symphony, Beethoven's next symphony. Mm-hmm. Everyone was really thrilled about what those guys would say next. So, you know, I try.
Was that the popular music of it today then? Because just as we used to be excited by the next Martha Reeves and the Vandellas song
right
on the radio.
Yeah, it was. You know, that, I mean, if you really want to get into it, which could be a whole other show, you know, all music comes from classical music, really. Even we can go back to the Baroque, because that was dance music. That's what people did when they got together. They would go and listen to some gavottes and some bourrées and some minuets, and they would dance different dances to them.
Right.
These were forms that Haydn, Mozart, Handel, Bach all used to sort of, you know, they took these forms that were already there and expanded on them and made them into what eventually became what we now know as classical music as a whole. So, honestly, my opinion now is the same. We need to stay excited about performing new music as an audience, as orchestras, as conductors, because if we're not constantly reinventing ourselves or reinvigorating our music, what's the point of doing what we're doing? Eventually, you know, we can only play Beethoven 9 so many times. I mean, every Beethoven 9 performance you hear, if it's done well, it can be breathtaking, can be moving. So you can do it over and over. That's why it survived, and we're doing it here on our final concert with the Charlotte Symphony. But if we're not constantly reinventing the genre and reinventing the music, there's really no point. You know, we have to keep supporting young composers because they're the ones that are providing us the music that the next generation is going to listen to. Now, it's tough. You know, certain composers last and some don't. John Adams is out there. He's been around for a while, and his music's evolving, and he's sort of a staple of a living American composer, and he's someone we're performing on our final Night Sound Series concert. But I believe that there's so many young, wonderful composers out there these days that are taking everything that's open to them. We are living in a new renaissance of music and digital age. We have so much things available to us. You know, the internet has opened the world to all kinds of ideas and music and styles, and young composers are really adding this in. For example, Mason Bates, he's the composer in residence at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Most of his music has turntables. He was a DJ, and he's found a way to incorporate DJ and turntables and sounds from computer generated sounds to infuse them into a classical setting. I mean, and he's doing incredibly well, and his concerts are extremely well received. A good friend of mine, Adam Schoenberg, he's the composer in residence with the Kansas City Symphony. He's got premieres with Atlanta and all these big orchestras now. He's a rising, huge rising star. He's the first American composer since Mahler to be signed by Universal. I mean, he's doing incredible things. And his father was a jazz pianist, so he improvises a lot at the piano, and he records his improvisations, and he builds off of that, and he uses all kinds of sounds like Pat Metheny, Copeland. So we have an incredible plethora of information and styles out there, and a lot of the younger composers are taking that and applying them, and it's very exciting. So I think the audience deserves to hear what's out there, what's new, what's fresh, what's exciting. And personally, I believe if you do something with conviction and you do stuff you love, the audience is going to love it. You know, I am definitely more toward the stuff that's more harmonic and a little more accessible. I'm not someone who loves to do 12-tone music. And not that I don't like that music. I don't believe in it as much as I believe in some other stuff currently in my state of growth where I am as a musician and conductor. But I do feel that audiences respond well to things that are given with passion, that are given with sincerity and with love. They'll feel that. And I've always been told that. And that's one of the great things about Charlotte is every new piece of music I've done or every living composer piece, I've had such great feedback from the community. So we're just trying to do a little more and a little more each time and just get the community used to it.
Giacomo Rafael Barros is guest conductor with the Charlotte Symphony. He is conducting tonight and tomorrow at 8 at the Belk with Jorge Gomez and Tiempo Libre. Jorge is our other guest. He is the founder, music director, and pianist with that group, and we will hear more of their music and talk more about that music when we come back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and the professional MBA program at USC's Darla Moore School of Business, offering an MBA degree for working professionals in Charlotte. Details at 800-950-PMBA. And Tyndall Subaru in Gastonia, presenting the new 2013 Subaru models, including the XV Cross Trek, an all-wheel drive crossover built for all-terrain and fuel efficiency. More information at TyndallSubaru.com. It's the weekly news roundup on the Diane Rehm Show at 10 o'clock, the national hour first, the international hour second at 11. And by the way, we'd like you to imagine something. Imagine March without a WFAE pledge drive. It is possible.
With your support last fall, your early pledges eliminated half the drive. So why not make it all of the drive this spring? Go to WFAE.org to make your pledge. And if our $550,000 goal is met before the start date, there will be no drive. You can make it happen. Do it now.
Listen.
The radio illusionist plays or ought to play by different rules. Ears held through our hypnotic conjuring of associations, memories, inspirations, and ideas.
Listen to me.
Listen.
And then you just turn and you find yourself noticing.
Public radio that plays by different rules. Public Radio Remix from PRX. Saturday, 9 to midnight on WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Tiempo Libre. They're in town tonight and tomorrow with the symphony at 8 at the Belk. You can get information about that on our website, wfae.org/Charlotte Talks. Jorge Gomez is the pianist, founder, and music director of Tiempo Libre. And Giacomo Rafael Barros is guest conductor with the Charlotte Symphony. I want you to pronounce a word for me here. A-C-E-I-T-E.
A-C-E?
I-T-E.
What is that?
No. I want you to pronounce it for me. Is it a siete?
A las siete?
I don't know. It's one of the pieces. We're having
siete.
A language barrier here. It's one of the pieces that you play. It's the tribute to Dizzy Gillespie.
Yeah?
Yeah, how do you say it?
Wow, it's a new piece.
you don't know this? I'm going to play it and you'll recognize it. And you'll be able to tell me what it is.
Aceite, aceite.
Ah.
Okay.
This is from your CD,
yes.
My Secret Radio. aceite. This is your answer to one of Dizzy Gillespie's and the Cuban musician Chano's 1940s hit, yeah. Manteca.
Exactly.
Manteca means lard.
Yeah.
Aceite means
oil.
Okay, here it is. You're a pianist, and rarely, at least in the cuts that I've heard, do you step out front like that. There are moments when you do, but you're a pianist. This is so horn-heavy, the music of Tiempo Libre. Why? You're the founder. You're a pianist. Why aren't you out front all the time?
He wants to know why you're not in the front, the star of the show.
This is a group. We are like a family, so everybody have to be in their position to make things happen. So we have a singer, sometimes he sing, sometimes he doesn't sing and he play an instrument.
Uh-huh.
And in this case, Tiempo Libre, we work like for three guys at the same time. In my case, I play the piano, I play the keyboard, I sing and I dance at the same time. So it's very difficult to be in front.
I read that one of the things that you miss about Cuba is the gossiping, playing dominoes in the old neighborhood, the smell of the city, and the ability to kick back. Here you say, it is only work, work, work. Is that an American influence, or is that a necessity because you were working so hard to establish yourself here?
Well, it's both. When we start here, we start playing Cuban music, and with time, we have been playing jazz, classical with a symphony. We do a lot of master classes in kindergarten, for example, college, university. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of musical theater, and we make music for different movies, documentary uh-huh. about Florida. So we have to work a lot to make all this thing happen.
Right. Wow. So tell me about the smell of the old city. This is Havana, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about that. Because, you know, we can't go there. So I have to live vicariously through you.
Well, you know, for example, now I'm in Miami Beach, I can smell the ocean, you know. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. in Cuba, we smell the ocean, and they mix with a lot of tree. We have a lot of tree and grass and everything. And in the morning, when you smell the rocío, mm-hmm. I was so fresh. I was like a new day. Oh, my God. And that was quiet because we don't have so many cars. And in Miami, you know, there's pee-pee, walk on, wee-wee-wee-wee-wee. Oh, my God, where am I?
It's like New York.
Oh, my God, yeah, New York.
Yeah.
So smell a new day. Okay. Every day is a new day.
That song we just played that I could not pronounce, Aceite?
Aceite.
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 Is from a CD called My Secret Radio. There's a story behind the title of that CD.
Yeah.
Tell us the story.
Well, in the 80s in Cuba, well, 80s, no, from the beginning of the revolution, it was illegal to hear American music. For example, if they catch you hearing the Beatles or something like that, you're going to be in jail, for sure. They're going to say, don't listen to that music, there's a bad influence for you. Mm-hmm. And if you keep doing that, you're going to be in jail. I was in jail one time for doing that.
Really?
Because I was a rockero. You know, I dressed like a hippie uh-huh. with the long hair and uh-huh. everything. I said, oh, you look so American. Come with me. Go to jail. And we want to know about the music outside Cuba. Mm-hmm. And we have to wait until 1 a.m. every day, go to the roof, make a big antenna, and try to catch any signal from the United States.
At 1 a.m., the Cuban radio station signed
exactly.
off. So,
yes,
so the airspace was open to hear.
Yes.
Because Cuba's 90 miles from.
Yeah, so close.
And a lot of AM radio signals float over the ocean to Cuba from the United States. So who were your American influences? What were you, because you risked a lot
yeah.
to listen to this music. So what was the music that really excited you when you heard it?
Everything. It was a new world for us. We were listening, for example, Chick Corea, Kenny Keel, and Kid Jari, Chaka Khan, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Erwin on Fire, Kool and the Gang. Everything was new for us. We don't understand nothing they were talking about, but we dance. Oh my God! Look what! Oh, what is that? Oh, every morning we recording every night that thing,
yeah.
And in the morning we make a party with that music, and everybody, how you dance that? I don't know. Move, and that was amazing. That was it.
So you mentioned Earth, Wind, and Fire, mm-hmm. and there are some I can hear some Earth, Wind, and Fire influences in your music, and I understand that you. One of your big dreams was to meet them,
yeah.
and you did.
Exactly, because in this album, uh-huh. My Secret Radio, we have a song. It's called When the Love is Gone from Erwin on Fire. And Sony was asking me, why you pick that song? Because we grew up listening to that song, and that this wonderful band is almost the same thing that we are trying to make, mm-hmm. mix Cuban rhythm with American music. And we made that song, and they give me that gift. Come, we're going to show you who is here. My God, that was Erwin on Fire on stage. They do a rehearsal because they have a concert that night.
Right.
And they invite me to play with them, and oh my, I was crying. I can't believe this. Oh my God. That was amazing.
And you said that when you heard Earth, Wind, and Fire, what you heard was echoes of timba
mm-hmm.
music in
yeah.
the playing. Well, for an American, I never heard of timba until yesterday. So tell me what timba music is.
Timba basically is the mix between Cuban rhythms and American harmony, American jazz. For example, you know, when I visit a social club mm-hmm. and you put Chick Corea on the piano, you're going to have timba. it's that mix.
Okay. You mentioned earlier in our conversation Johann Sebastian Bach, and I think you did an album of his music. We opened the hour with a piece called Tukunga Bach, which was based on his C minor fugue. The music of Bach is timeless because it's the best music ever written. It's just brilliantly done. So let's hear your treatment of another Bach piece. This is Air on a G String. Into a love song.
Yeah, you can dance with that.
Yeah, you can dance with that.
When your wife and everything.
All of you are highly trained musicians in Tiempo Libre. When did that training for you start? I mean, obviously, I know you went to conservatory, but it started someplace before that, I'm sure.
Oh, from I was born. Everybody in my family was a musician. My father was one of the more important classical pianists in Cuba. His name is Jorge Gomez Labraña. And I was playing every day, and I was listening to the piano all day, studying Chopin, Liszt, Mozart, Béla Bartók. And for sure, I knew that I'm going to be a musician and pianist. My father said to me, you see this? It's going to be your future. And I started playing.
Did he help teach you in the beginning?
Or yes.
How difficult was that? Because sometimes fathers and sons, being taught, father teaching
oh,
sons is the difficult.
He doesn't have patience. It was, no, that's bad, bad. Oh, no, wait. And normally, a teacher can do that for you, but your father, yes.
You said you knew that this was going to be your future from the very beginning, but when did you know that you wanted it to be your future?
Well, he told me about the future because he thought that I'm going to be playing classical music for the rest of my life. And there was a moment in my life that I said, no, I can't do that. It's too hard. I have to study too much. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of very good pianists in the world. So I better going to play the thing that I feel very happy and comfortable playing. And so this is the Cuban rhythm. This is the mix. This is the jazz. This is everything. And my father looked at me, okay, do it. Are you kidding me? Yes, no problem. And I start a new way to play piano.
Wow. How much did you practice?
When I was at the school, a lot. Well, as I said before, you are in the school a whole day. Mm-hmm. And the weekends.
But I would assume you don't get to go into a study program like that unless you already are fairly proficient at what you do and show great promise,
yeah,
correct?
Well, yes, exactly.
So to get to that point, how much did you practice?
Well, every day, like 4 hours.
4 hours.
That's normal thing.
Yeah.
My father used to study like 8, 10.
It's a full-time job.
He food. He eat in the piano. Okay.
And that's normal, isn't it, for
a
person who wants to play at the symphony level?
Oh, yeah. When I was at Juilliard, I used to practice 6, 7 hours a day, and that was a bad day. You know, and if I had an audition coming up, it probably went to like 8 or 10 hours. Just depends on what you're doing and how much time you have, of course. But
it's not work because you love it.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
I want to talk quickly before we run out of time about both of you are major advocates of music in the schools. Tiempo Libre has collaborated with the Cleveland Orchestra to perform for over 4,000 Miami-Dade County students down in Miami. How would you characterize educational musical opportunities in schools today in America?
It's different, man. It's a challenge now. You know, in my very personal opinion, I think our public education has failed us in the arts when it comes to, you know, cultivating young music lovers and art lovers. They've completely failed us now. In my generation, when I was coming up, we still had piano lessons. We still had a choir teacher come into our rooms, and you know, we had bands in our middle school, two bands, two orchestras, a jazz band. Yeah. You know, now they're barely eking out one little band.
So how does that failure impact us as a society and impact these students as individuals?
I don't know. It's pretty scary. You know, I think the cultural soul of this country is, it's at a tricky turn right now. The nice thing is a lot of orchestras like the Charlotte Symphony are pushing their own programs now. We're pushing our own education series. We perform for tens of thousands of kids every year. And the most important thing we can do now is exposure. Just let the kids see and hear what the orchestra does so they can get excited about it, because the concerts we put on are very exciting. And we also work at Winterfield Elementary, right, and another school, the North Community Arts School, to try to do what we can, mm-hmm, to make up for what is lacking.
And I know that Tiempo Libre does artists in residence programs at universities, places like Interlochen, Michigan State. What do you teach these kids? Do you teach classical music? Do you teach Cuban music? Do you teach the music that you have come up with, this hybrid? What do you teach?
I teach them to be happy, to have a new opportunity to see life. Sometimes they don't know they're going to be a musician. They want to be a conga player, mm-hmm, and they doesn't have the opportunity. So in this particular day, I'd say to the kid, come to stage. Come. Do you want to play this? Yes. Oh. And they start. And when we end the class, he go to his father and he tell, I want to play the instrument in my life. I want to be part of this. And for us, it's so incredible.
You have, as I said just a second ago, you've created this hybrid, this classical music, Cuban-influenced jazz sound. Is it safe to say that you have created a new genre?
No, I don't think so. I'm just transmitting energy. And that's the way that we make music.
That's Jorge Gomez, founder, director, music director, and pianist of Tiempo Libre. Giacomo Rafael Barros is the guest conductor at the Charlotte Symphony. Tonight and tomorrow at 8, Tiempo Libre will set the Belk Theater on fire. So come on out and be part of that. And you can dance, because they set up a dance floor for you at the foot of the stage at the Belk.
Can I say one more thing?
Very quickly, five seconds.
Okay, please look out for our opening of our series for the Pops next year. We have a lot of great concerts that will be like Tempo series next year as well.
Thanks for